for doing that. I think, if I understand, you had a, there was an alternative you could have done, and that was, I think Dale said you could preach, but you chose the other, so that's all right. Okay, just to a little bit more on what Sally said. I was talking to Owen yesterday, and I understand the speaker that's scheduled, Tom Anderson, is originally grew up in this community, just down the road out of New Holland, where the Collins family, he grew up there and went to Florida in seminary, I guess, and stayed there. But I say that now he found out, since Harriet won't be able to play piano, the speaker, Tom, has been in a hospital, or is in a hospital as well. So that sort of complicates things a little more. But he does have an alternative speaker, or an alternate speaker, maybe I should say. And so revivals are going on, as I understand. But so it does sort of play with things when things happen like that. Okay, this morning, I'm going to ask the children, 12 and under, can you say, who knows what today, what we call today? Sunday. Yes, it is Sunday. But what else? It's a special Sunday. I figured I might get that, but that's okay. Over here? Palm Sunday. Right. Thank you. You're right, Logan. It's a Sunday, and it's okay. Today is Palm Sunday. And so I've chosen to read and take the text out of Matthew 21. And thank you, James, for your devotions. Those are some things that I was going to ask about. And I told my wife, he's going to preach my sermon. And she thought maybe we wouldn't hurt to hear it twice. But I'm going to skip some of that on the donkey. He had a lot more information than I do, or that I got. And that is very good. The donkey is not looked at as a very important animal in creation, for the most part. You'll see a lot of donkeys around in this area. And they're out with the cattle. They're out with, mainly the cattle. And they're there mainly for decoration or for protection, supposedly. And so so I'm just amazed. I don't remember in Pennsylvania, our neighbors had a donkey. But that's the only one I know of. You just didn't see them like you do here. So in the Bible times, as we heard this morning, the donkey was a very important and an essential part of daily life in carrying the burdens of the people, carrying things and carrying people as well. And so it's interesting that it's mentioned here again in Jesus, and I hadn't thought of that, of James said, that Mary, being great with child, a donkey carried her, and also now the triumphal entry, a donkey carried him into Jerusalem as well. So anyway, let's read the first 11 verses. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto me, unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, as we know the story of the reason why all this took place, and I'd just like to say a little bit about this week as we start from today till next Sunday is one of the probably most significant weeks in the Christian's life, in what the Christian stands for and why we are Christians and so on. This week marks the beginning of the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. And as I looked at the different Gospels, they're very similar, and yet some of them do leave out a lot of the details. John especially does not give much detail at all. And someone wrote that probably he thought the others had recorded it well enough that he just disregarded that. He doesn't say anything about the palm, the branches, or anything like that. And I think Matthew, not sure here now where it is. there's only one of them that talks about the palm, or it calls them palms. Somewhere in my notes I have that. Well, I can't find it now. Actually, I'm wrong. John is the only one that talks about it. He calls it palm branches, but he doesn't talk about some of the other details that John or that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about there as well. So I've chose to go with Matthew's account here, and he's as he records this. And so we know as Jesus entering into Jerusalem, he knows why he's entering. And it's a little bit like the Apostle Paul on his last journey. He had to go to Jerusalem, or he had to go to Rome. And it was a determined fact, because God had told him what was going to happen. He needed to go. People tried to steer him away, but he had to go. And Jesus, he knew what he was going to face. He knew what was going to take place that week and all the significant things that were happening and so on. And to the multitude and to the crowd, to the disciples, of course, they were surprised and so on. And you go back to Matthew 20 in verses 17 through 19, Jesus tells the disciples, and he said, And Jesus going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in a way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. And so, there again, he warned the disciples knew, although they didn't understand, and until it was all over with, really, did they really understand what Jesus was talking about. And we know at one point, Peter even confronted Jesus and said, Oh no, it's not going to happen. But Jesus said that it would, and we know that it did. As we go through this week, I know there have been times that in the paper, and they didn't this year that I saw, they would put out what each day represented and what happened in the event going leading up to next Sunday, the crucifixion or the resurrection. And it's interesting, I did run across some of that and I didn't copy it down, but in writing and reading here in John, it talks about in chapter 12, I think it is, where it talks about this, what we're talking about today, the entry into Jerusalem. And it's back in chapters, I forget now what it is, 21 or somewhere in there is where the actual crucifixion is. And so there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of teaching. You'll see that here in each of the writings as well. A lot of things that we, parables and so on, that Jesus did during this week. Someone thought it was like on a Tuesday and Wednesday were the days that he was doing a lot of teaching. So he was very busy and moving about in that area. We also know that Jerusalem was full of people. And there it talks about multitudes and a great multitude of people. So people came from everywhere to celebrate Passover. And so if you think of that, people weren't sitting listening to the radio or watching their TVs because they didn't have them back then. But the news would travel with all these people as they would go back home that were there, observed what took place, could spread the news to the people, and so the news could get around quickly. I thought that was sort of noteworthy. Also, a couple of unusual things, I think, that took place concerning the donkey and this whole scenario. How often would you tell someone to go and just go over there, there's a car that I need, just go over there and get it and bring it to me? And if the owners are there, just tell them, I need it, it'll be okay. You think you'd get very far? Probably not. I wouldn't want to try it, because there'd probably be, could be some lead flying with behind me. Anyway, so I thought that was quite unusual. Jesus said, how did he know those donkeys were over there? Well, it's because he was Jesus, that's why. Why did he know that the owners would be okay with that? Well, he knew that as well, because he was Jesus. But in my mind, I'm thinking that's strange. And then also, he brings the mother and he brings a colt. Why does he ride the colt? It says no one has ever sat on this colt. You know, we all know, I think, understand what an unbroken animal, colt, horse, what happens the first time you get on it. You better be prepared for a ride. Well, this was no problem. But the reason, and James touched on us as well, it was prophesied. Zechariah prophesied this is what's going to happen. And so it was. Jesus knew it. Is that why it worked out? Not necessarily. It's because it was Jesus. And yes, it is because it was prophesied. Zechariah heard from God and spoke that way. And so it was written. And Jesus knew that as well. Anyway, just some questions that I had. And the way it's written, it almost sounds like he rode both the donkey and the mother at the same time. But I don't believe he did. Some other the writings there's some dispute on that, but probably not. Okay. I have to regroup here a little bit. Skip some things. We noticed that as they were, the crowd was crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. In Luke and in John, it talks about they proclaimed him king. And the king of the Jews. They at least hoped that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and he's going to deliver them out of the Romans. But this was not Jesus' plan. And we can see that. And as I said earlier, he told the disciples about his approaching death, what was going to take place. So that's number one reason. Let me see here. Yes, that they should have known that this wasn't what Jesus had in mind at all, because he's going there to die. A king doesn't ride in to take over a city and then plan to die there. Number two, his followers were unarmed. Here were the guys. They didn't have the military things. They didn't have spears and so on. They didn't have a plan. This was all in their mind. It was just happening before them. They didn't have any equipment. They didn't have any spears, but they had palm branches. They didn't have any trumpets, but they had voice of the Psalms. Their leader was not riding a proud horse of war, but he was riding upon a donkey, a symbol of peace and humility. So as he entered in, there was nothing in this whole picture that would give indication of a war, a king coming in defiance and taking over at all. It was completely the opposite. The Roman government wasn't even disturbed. They probably didn't even hardly know what was going on outside of all the people there. Probably Pilate didn't even hear of the procession, what was going on, because we know that when Jesus was at the trial and Pilate met him there, it was like they were complete strangers. Pilate didn't really know who this person was. At least it appears that way. All this was leading up to the reason Jesus was born and came to earth, to provide redemption and salvation for all mankind through the giving and laying down of his life. He was going to be the sacrificial lamb. That's why we celebrate this week. We remember what took place this week is because of the final thing that happens on Good Friday. Another thing I thought of as I looked at this in verse 3, Jesus told the disciples to go in verse 2. And in verse 3, it says that the Lord has need of them. Jesus needs everyone. He needs all of us. He needs everybody. What is he? And let's see here. Jesus said to the disciples, go, and the disciples went. He needs all of us. Here was a donkey he needed. But we have more to offer him than a donkey, I hope. I'm sure we do. We have our lives. We have our abilities. We have our gifts that he needs. And is he telling us to go somewhere? Is he calling us to go somewhere? Hopefully not. We need everybody here. But above and beyond, especially young people, younger ones, if God calls you to do something in your life, to go somewhere, he lays it on your heart to go, don't say no, but go. Be obedient to that. We see the disciples here. I'm sure they were probably wondering in their minds, how in the world is this all going to turn out? But they went, they did, they obeyed, and it worked out fine. That should have been a comfort and a consolation to them. And it is to you and I as well. Whenever we obey, when we go, when we do things that we feel and sense God leading us to do, and we just do it. We don't know hardly how or why, but we do it, and it works out great. isn't a comfort, isn't it a consolation, doesn't it make you feel good? It does, I'm sure it does. Because then we know God was in it. This is what God wanted. And so I think that's a challenge for us today. That we do and we are what God wants us to be. And we listen and we obey. Jesus was born of a virgin who had never bore a child. There's just several things that were firsts. He rode on a donkey where no man had ever sat on. He was laid in a sepulcher or tomb that was hewn in a stone wherein no one was laid before. Three things that Jesus did there. His birth, his triumph, his tomb were in this way alike. His appearance, his history, and his departure are this indicated to be above the level of ordinary humanity. Again, looking at and thinking about this whole scenario of this week, the events that take place and as it unfolds, and how things, and it leads up to coming Good Friday, when he comes to the trial on Thursday evening, actually, and he's before Pilate, and he's before the Sanhedrin, and he's questioned, and he's interrogated, he's whipped, and he's all kinds of things that happened to him. And then on Friday afternoon, through all this process, they take him out and they crucify him. And he hangs there between heaven and earth, and his life ebbs away. And he dies there. And then he's taken down and buried. And then thinking of next Sunday morning, and there again there are some things as we understand our time that do not quite jibe. I believe them. Jesus said he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And I read a little bit on that, and I'm still not clear. But it was their way of time was looking at it differently. Somehow they took like Thursday a whole day. They considered a 24-hour period a day, which we do too. But they looked at it somehow differently, to where I actually would almost consider Thursday night as one of the nights. I don't understand all that, and I didn't dig into it a lot. But as Jesus then arose from the dead and is alive forevermore, and as he came to Mary and he spoke to Mary and he spoke life to her, and he also gave her the message to take to the disciples as well. But backing up a little bit, in this time, during this week, and on Thursday evening, Jesus met with the disciples, and he told them, again, he sent two into town, and he said, go prepare for us the Passover. And so they went. And again, it's a strange setting. They come in there to a new place. Jesus told him what to look for. You find this guy carrying a pot, follow him. There'll be a room upstairs. Make it ready and for us. And they did that. And then during that process, Jesus again does the Last Supper. I believe they ate the Passover meal. As the traditional thing was, they did the Passover meal. But in all that, then Jesus instituted, again, the communion service of washing each other's feet, drinking of the vine, and eating the bread. And again, preparing them and trying to help prepare them for what was taking place. And all this, a lot of this and through all this is symbolism of things that the Old Testament taught the children of Israel that they were to do and to remember to do. And then Jesus goes on to tell us that in that communion service, that we are to teach that, we are to remember that. And as often as we do it, we remember why? Because of what Jesus did. So I want to take our minds back to Exodus, the first Passover, when the children of Israel were preparing to leave Egypt. And the last plague that God brought on Egypt was the death of the firstborn in each family. And the reason that the Israelites escaped that and what God told them to do, they were to eat the Passover meal. They were to have this lamb, and they could invite their neighbors and eat this together, and they were to eat it all up. There was none to be left. And then they would take that blood and to sprinkle it over the top of the door and down the side posts. And when the death angel would come during the night, wherever that blood was applied, the death angel would go around that house or go over that house. They would escape death at that house. But wherever he didn't see the blood, there was someone died. And it was the eldest child of each family, and some of the livestock, and so on. And so as the children of Israel, they escaped. Pharaoh said, go, get away from me. I can't stand it any longer, leave. And so they left, and so on. And so God told Moses to tell the people, don't forget, remember this. Keep it, practice this certain meal, this Passover, at a certain time each year, so that the children will remember. And he says, they'll ask, generations, generations, and generations go on. And the children are saying, what's this all about? This don't make any sense. But the older ones are to tell them, this is why we're doing it. This is what it means. This is what happened. That's why we are here, and we can go on. So I believe that's the important thing that we as people celebrate what we do. We know as older ones, the children know too, but in generations to come, if our parents and grandparents hadn't told us about Easter, if they hadn't celebrated the resurrection, if they hadn't celebrated the crucifixion, I wouldn't know what it's about. You wouldn't know what it's about either. But they were faithful to do that. And so you and I, that's our calling to do that. We dare not let that die. And as Christian people, someone has said Easter is the most important day or time of the Christian, forget what, religion. But I'm not sure. I guess you can argue that. It is very essential. It is very important. I don't deny that. But you know, the birth was too. If there wouldn't be for a birth, there wouldn't be a death. And so I think they go hand in hand. I don't know that we need to argue about that point. The point is, they were all important. They all had to happen. They did happen, and we can believe it. Why? Because it's in our Bible. And we believe that the Bible was inspired by God. And so we can read it. We can have, we can believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is what took place. And it's why it took place. And so today, no, Thursday night, you dads won't have to go kill a lamb and put blood over the door. We don't need to do that anymore. That was done. Jesus, we celebrate Jesus' life because he did that for us. His blood took care of all that. And by that, we experience redemption and forgiveness of sin. That's why we need to be thankful. And we need to live holy lives to represent our thankfulness to God for what he did in providing such a great event, not just event, but experience for us and for all people, wherever. The next great celebration that you and I as Christians look forward to, and or at least should, is when Jesus comes again. He came in humility the first time. He came to be a ransom for many. But the next time he will come in victory, in triumph over evil, to receive those redeemed washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be a part with him. Or to be, I say a part, yes. Not a part as a part, but a part of him. In his kingdom as well. And I think James talked about that in Revelations. Revelations 19:11, it talks about Jesus. It's a symbol again of Jesus riding on a white horse, and that's a symbol of victory. Will Jesus ride on a white horse in reality? I don't know that. Not in coming the first time, but in the conclusion of the earth and the consummation of everything, maybe he will ride a white horse. I don't understand all that. But again, what we need to keep remembering is the cost and the price and the reason. And we need to pass that on, to be diligent in telling our children and explaining to them, okay, they need to receive Jesus as their Savior. Why? And so on. And so they don't forget, and so they can pass it on to generations to come. We serve a risen Savior, and we have a lot to be thankful for today. Do we have a closing song? 202 in the Faith and Praise. When you find that, you can stand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to you today for your love and your mercy that you have shown to us. We thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and that he was willing and he was faithful to the end. Thank you that Jesus is alive, that he rose again, and that he's coming for us to take us to be where he is. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you gave your life for us. We thank you, God, again for instituting the body, the church. And I pray that you would help us as a body, that we would continue to exalt, to praise, and to lift up your name high among the nations, among the people we're around. I pray a blessing on each one as we separate, as we go to our homes. We pray that you would go with us, that you would keep us in your love, and that you would guide us in the way of righteousness and holiness and truth. May we give you glory and honor this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we say.